That was good, and nobody warned me. And I feel like I need some tissues. Well, welcome to Serenity Church. My name is Jesslyn, and I'm an overcomer. I've been sober by the grace of God since 5/27/18, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without Pastor Shay. So thank you, Pastor Shay, and Trina, and Aunt Lori. Okay, so if you did not get a Bible pin or bulletin, please raise your hand and one of our lovely assistants will give you one of those. I have a couple in the back over here that need a Bible pin bulletin. Thank you so much. And if you did not get a chance to write a letter to one of our pilgrims that are at the Walk to Emmaus this weekend, there is a whole letter writing station back there with markers, pens, cards, cards with scriptures, blank cards. Just please write our people some letters. They would love to get a little scripture, a little message, a memory that you might have of each one of them, and we'll give them to them tonight. Let's see. I'm so glad to be back here. I've been gone for the last 2 weeks, but I've been doing some really important things with my family. One of them was to celebrate my mom's 70th birthday. We got together and threw her a little surprise party. Friends and family showed up. She had a great time, and that was really important. And then last week is Jayla, my middle daughter, or my middle child. She's a senior this year, and last weekend was the football game senior game, and we walked her across the field, and that was really special to me. If you knew me 4 or 5 years ago, you would know why. And she's actually here tonight. So hi, Jayla. I'm so glad you're here. Okay. And I missed our guest speaker, Chance. I hope you guys enjoyed Chance and his wife, Cecilia Mintasana. They are such a blessing to my family and I. They live in Houston, like you know, if you were here. If you didn't get to see that message, it's on YouTube. And him and his wife speak life into our relationship, mine and my husband's marriage, into our family, into our children. They are really special people to us, and I'm so thankful that you guys welcomed them last weekend when I wasn't here. So we're starting a new sermon series, and the month of October is all on words. And my message title for this evening is The Power of Words, What We Speak and What We Keep. And I was preparing for this message. I came across a YouTube video about a sixth grade class who performed a science experiment on two plants. They were exact same plants. Both plants were given the same amount of water, the same amount of sunlight, but one of the plants received praises every day from the students, from the 11-year-olds, and the other plant received harsh words. It was bullied and spoken to in a really ugly way. And so if you have been bullied in your life, you probably feel really sad for that plant like I do. It's wilted and yellow, and it looks just really sad and diseased. And the other plant looks vibrant and green and tall and healthy. Now, some scientists have tried to repeat this science experiment, some real scientists, and they did not receive the same results. And maybe that was because they didn't have a group of 11-year-olds who were, let's be honest, are pretty harsh with their words sometimes, and that's probably why it didn't work. So just like the 11-year-olds, our words have power to bring life and death to something also. The Bible tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we speak to others and even to ourselves can change things, can grow things, can heal things, or it can even destroy things. Some of us might feel like the wilted little plant sitting here today, worn down by harsh words and criticisms or negativity. And some of us have been told some really ugly things by people that should have loved us and cherished us and protected us. And unfortunately, many of us have carried those things around with us way too long. If anyone feels like that today, just like that poor little plant, I have good news for you. There is a solution for carrying those words around for a long time, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God has power to restore what has been broken, to heal what feels damaged, and to breathe life back into the dead places. The lies and harmful words that we have believed don't have to define us. We don't have to keep hanging on to them. They can be cut away by the truth of God's Word. And in Hebrews 4:12, in the English Standard Version, it tells us, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." This scripture tells us that the Word of God is living and active. It's not just a bunch of letters printed on a piece of paper. The Word of God is not just some words in a Bible app. It is actually the voice of God speaking to you right now in this moment, in this day, in this year. And when we read and believe and apply God's Word into our life and walk in that belief, it has the power to cut through the confusion and the lies and the ugly things that have been in your life for so long. And our thoughts and our motives and our wounds, it can just cut those away and reveal what God says about us. So when someone has spoken ugly, destructive words over us, we don't have to carry those labels. We can take them to God's Word, and we can measure them against His truth. If it doesn't align with what He says, then we can throw it away. And what He says is that we are chosen, we are loved, we are redeemed, we are made new in Christ, and that there's no condemnation for us when we're in Christ Jesus. Then we let that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, cut the lies away. Now, something interesting is that if you know the armor of God, you have the helmet, the boots, the belt, the sword and the shield. Well, everything else is to protect you except for the sword, the Word of God. That's the only weapon that we have to fight against the enemy. So the Word of God, the sword, can become a weapon and also a means for healing us. Just like the words that have been spoken over our past, we can rewrite those things with the Word of God. And so I want to ask you something today. What is a negative thought that you believe about yourself? What is something negative that you've been telling yourself day after day? It creeps in sometimes. Sometimes you can look at yourself in the mirror and call yourself this name. I know for a long time I used to look at myself in the mirror and call myself wicked names because I truly felt that about myself. Maybe you compare yourself to others. Is there any comparison when you see something someone has that you might want? Maybe it's not an insult that you have. Maybe it's a fear. Is there a fear that's going on in your head day after day? Have you thought of something yet? Okay, keep that in mind. What if I told you could begin to replace whatever that thing is with words from God's words, starting right now? God doesn't want you to be trapped by those lies, the fears, the insults, the negative things. He doesn't want you to live like that. Romans 12:2 says, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. About 2 years sober, I started learning about transforming my mind in the Word of God. I started learning some of the science behind transforming my mind and the neuro pathways. And I love when science aligns with the Word of God. I mean, it always does. But this really hit home for me because I learned that when we first get into recovery, many of us, all of us pretty much, need to realign our neural pathways. We need to change our ways of thinking. So that's why you go to 90 meetings in 90 days. Go read this out of the big book or the Narcotics Anonymous book. Open up the Bible and read Psalms and Proverbs every day. That's why you get those. Those are only suggestions. But if you actually did them, if you were able to do those things, you would notice at one time where you were thinking these negative thoughts, you wake up one day and you realize you haven't thought about that thing in a very long time. You haven't called yourself that name in a really long time. You haven't put yourself in a destructive or a toxic relationship in a really long time, because you know that your value is not with relationships, it's with God. When you suddenly realized that you haven't thought about that thing, you don't really know when it happened or when that change took place. You just know you were following suggestions that your sponsor or wise counsel told you, and it worked. So I hear some amens. I'm thinking some people have experienced that before. Okay. Sometimes something pretty amazing is when we have these lies or insults in our brain hitting us, and the repeat button goes on and on, or the fears going around in our brain like a hamster wheel. If we take the word of God, every time one of those hamsters pops up and we replace that with God's word, it's like a sword. It will cut and divide those lies, cutting them away from us. You will one day wake up suddenly realizing that you haven't called yourself the name before for a long time. You will suddenly realize the fear of financial insecurity is not paralyzing you anymore, because you know that God is your provider. Or the fear of being alone is not on you anymore, because you know God is always with you and He approves of you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords approves of you. So you don't need that. And also you start getting confidence, because you realize that when God created you, there was a divine design in you. He needed you in this world for a purpose, to give you those gifts that Colton was talking about, to build up His kingdom. He has a special purpose for you. Amen. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift." And this is from the Message version. I love the way this sounds. So let me give you some words that God says about you. These are the weapons. These are the sword of the Spirit. And this is how Christians fight. I love to fight. I always have. Even in my past, I love to fight. But now I know how to fight the way God wants me to fight. And God made me that way by divine design. This is how you can fight the cosmic beings and the principles and powers of this world that are coming against you. And for anyone new to spiritual warfare, this is spiritual warfare 101. It's just speaking and using the sword. And pay attention, take notes, because we're about to get into spiritual warfare advanced classes pretty soon. That's our plan. The ugly words and harsh things that you speak about yourself, sometimes they are not from you. Sometimes they're not you, especially fear, paralyzing fear that controls you and forces you to make decisions based on that fear. They are straight from hell, those thoughts and those fears. The devil and the demons, they know exactly what has been spoken over you by your family, by your parents, by a marriage, what those 11-year-old kids in school might have said when you were little. The enemy has been there since you were born, because really the enemy has been here for thousands and thousands of years. And there's enemies assigned to each one of us in here. When you're walking with Christ, there's some assigned to you for sure. So they know exactly what buttons to push in you to get you to react and respond in a certain way. So, oh yeah, and one other thing, the enemy can make that thought or fear sound exactly like your voice. Yeah. All they want to do is steal, kill, and destroy anything that is good in your life. So pay attention. Easy stuff right here. And don't let this scare you, because it's not scary. Because once you believe in Christ Jesus and say He is your Lord and Savior, He lives in you. His Spirit is in you. And He who lives in you is greater than he who is in the world. So we don't have to be on the defense. We are in the offense. So this is why I asked Shay and Dwayne if they had their bow fishing bows today, if they could shoot bows at me without the points on, but they don't have them. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this the best way I can. An arrow from the devil just shot. This one says, you will never be able to get married to that husband that loves you like Christ loves the church. Or you will never find that wife, that godly woman to marry, because you just don't deserve that. The sword of the Spirit. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Boom. That arrow is gone. That arrow is gone. That's how you fight. Here's another one. You might as well give up. You can never reach that goal. You're an idiot, right? The sword of the Spirit. Psalms 84:11. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He doesn't withhold anything good from us when we walk uprightly. Amen. Boom. It's gone. That arrow is gone. One last arrow. Oh my God. I made a mistake at work. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to lose my job. My boss is going to yell at me. I have kids at home. I'm not going to be able to pay the rent or my car. 2 seconds later, I'm homeless, living on the streets under a bridge. Sword of the Spirit. I will not fear because God is with me. I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. His perfect love casts out all fear. It's gone. It's just like that. This is how you can fight against the thoughts that bring you down with the Word of God. This is our weapon. It works. I have seen the Word of God work in so many spiritual battles on myself and in others, not just these thoughts, but others. And it works. Don't give up. I don't want to hear anyone say, I can't do that. Or I've been thinking this way for far too long. This is just me. That's BS. Sorry. It's not true. It is not true. Yeah. It's straight from the devil.
It's BS.
It is. And it will take, it doesn't work overnight. So when you have the scripture, when you have that thought that you want to combat against, that fear, do it every day. It takes 90, let's do 90 and 90.
Amen.
90 and 90 is what it takes to rewrite that neural pathway, to believe what God's word says and fight something that you've probably held on to since you were a child. So, I love what Chance said last week. I'm going to quote him. If you have a pulse, there is hope for you.
Amen.
Okay? This is how we can battle. The band can come back. So the last thing I want to talk to you is about speaking life, to speak life. Sometimes we don't need the enemy to shoot the arrows because we shoot the arrows at our families, at our jobs, at our pastors, at our churches. If your thoughts and mouth consistently judge and speak harsh words about a person, a spouse, a child, a situation, a workplace, whatever it is, stop right now. Amen. Just stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it. Stop planting the negative seeds. Because if you think about this, if our words are seeds and we're constantly spitting negativity out, we're planting seeds of thistles, thorns, weeds all around us. We're creating our own pastures. But if we're speaking love and life, we're planting those seeds of fruit, of orchards, of harvest. Proverbs 18:20 says, from the fruit of man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. This scripture tells us that we have the ability to speak love and life and plant seeds all around us that will produce a satisfying fruit that we can eat. Are you speaking love and truth to your spouse, to your children, to your church and workplace? Sometimes we need to be very intentional. I know I do. Sometimes I've had a bad day and I need to be really intentional about how I speak in my home to my family. It's okay. Be intentional. And if we mess up, make amends at once. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I spoke those words. Please forgive me. What can I do to make it right? We sow what we reap. Anybody know what sowing seeds? That's what it means. We sow what we reap. In Galatians 6:7 means, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So if we sow kind words, encouragement, and blessings, we will reap the same in return, and we will build up goodness around us. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word, living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It teaches us, corrects us, and strengthens us when we are weak. Lord, help us to treasure your word more than silver or gold. Let it take up root in our hearts. When the enemy whispers lies, remind us of your truth. When fears rise up, let us speak your promises. When discouragement comes, let your word breathe life into us again. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring your word to our remembrance in every situation. Teach us to not only read it, but to live it, declare it, and share it with others. May our words reflect your word so that we bring hope, encouragement, and life to those around us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.